As it was announced, the scripture reading will come from Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22. That's the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." That was Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22, and that was from the English Standard Version.
Good to be back tonight. We're thankful for everyone who has come back this evening to worship God once again. If you were here this morning, you know that we're going to continue our lesson from this morning. And I'm going to say something but I realize as I was thinking about it, it's not really that applicable to you all. But it, whenever I have these lessons, you know by now that really this is just a one-part lesson that, for whatever reason, you know, over the years, you add things and to lessons and they get longer. And so I realized this morning that I wasn't going to be able to preach it all this morning. So that's good news, because this morning's lesson was a little bit shorter than it could have been. And tonight's lesson will be short because it's just a continuation, kind of a wrap-up of what we did this morning. But you know, I say that, and I just as a commendation to you all, I appreciate the attitude that you all have towards preaching, towards worshiping God. I never get any complaints at all about the length of my sermons. And every once in a while, somebody will joke about it. But it is truly just joking around. And you all are a very good audience. You don't mind if my lessons are a little bit long sometimes, or maybe you do, but you don't say anything to me about it. And I do appreciate that. And so I commend you for that. We shouldn't be watching the clock and worried about the time. We're here doing the Lord's work and doing something that we ought to enjoy. And so when I talk about the length of sermons sometimes, just joking around, I realize that you all have a good attitude towards that sort of thing. But if you were here this morning, we did begin with this verse that is very important. For he says, "In a favorable time I will listen to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And so we emphasize this morning that God is offering his grace now. And we need to take advantage of that while we can, because the truth is he'll not always be offering what he does now. He'll not always be offering salvation. The time will come where it's too late to take advantage of the grace and the love and the mercy of God. And so we emphasize then that the time is now for you to get right with God. And the lesson then is geared primarily towards those who haven't obeyed the gospel, or those who have but have not been living right for one reason or another. The time is now that you do something about that you obey the gospel of Christ before it is too late. And so our main exhortation this morning was, don't let Satan stop you. And really, we need to take it personally that the devil is doing everything he can to stop us from going to heaven, because he's not interested in our well-being at all. It's the very opposite. He wants us to be lost. He wants us to be damned, just like he knows that he is. He knows he has but a short period of time, and so he's doing everything he can to get as many people to be lost as possible. Don't let him win that battle with you. Instead, fight against him and do what is right. Don't let him stop you from changing your life, from obeying the gospel of Christ, or being restored back to fellowship with God again before it's too late. And we emphasize that what he wants to do is influence our thinking. And so we looked at three things. First of all, there is time enough yet. That's what he wants you to think. And I'm going to revisit that just a little bit, at least one angle of that here as we continue and begin to wrap it up tonight. But we looked at two things in passing that can affect this. First of all, we realize that we don't have all that much time simply because of two things, the death that might occur, and I'll further that again in just a moment. But also the second coming of Christ. We don't know when that is going to take place. As we saw this morning, not even the Son knows that. Not even Jesus knows when the Father is going to send him back. And so we have to be careful about how we live our lives, because that could be at any moment. That can come at any time. Jesus might come back before I even finish this gospel sermon tonight. And I know you think, well, that's not going to happen, and maybe not, but it could. And the fact of the matter is, we don't know the time. But I will say that there is some reason to believe that when Jesus comes back, it just might be on the Lord's day. When you stop and think about it. Like, I'm not trying to predict anything. I would never do that. But when you think about all that has happened on the Lord's day, when you think about the fact that that is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, that is the day that the church was established, and the day when the Holy Spirit was first poured out upon the apostles, and the day that the early church worshiped God regularly, when you think of it being the Lord's day, well, there might be some reason to think that it might be on the Lord's day that he returns. Problem is, it could be any Lord's Day, if it's even the Lord's Day at all. And we don't know if that would be today or tonight, rather, or if it would be a year from now, or 10 years from now, or 1,000 years from now. We just don't know. And because of that, we have to be ready. We have to ready ourselves, because we don't know when he is going to return. And then we said that Satan wants us to believe that temporal matters are more important than spiritual matters. And we have to be real careful about that, because he has influenced really the majority of people to think like that. But we need to realize that spiritual things are always more important and more significant than temporal matters. But that's what he wants us to think. And then we said he wants us to think that earthly pleasure is worth the risk of eternal damnation. And whenever we start, or anyone starts thinking like that, it's because they don't realize the seriousness of eternal damnation. It is, as it says, it is eternal. It is forever. There are no second chances when it comes to that. Once we die, or once Jesus comes back, as we said this morning from the parable of the 10 virgins, once that door is shut, it will never be opened again, ever. And so we need to understand, if we're going to go after earthly pleasure or worldly lust, we need to be aware of the risk that is involved in that. Why would you take the risk? I've given the illustration many times in different sermons, because it's just an interesting illustration. Tells us a lot about how man thinks. I don't even know if it goes on anymore, but of the situation where they had a shotgun that was loaded, and the trigger is pulled back and connected by a string that could break at any time. And they put a chair in front of it, just a display that people go to see. And they put a chair in front of the shotgun. And then you can get your picture taken as you sit in that chair. And there's always, when it was going on, they might still have it so far as I know, but there was always a long line of people standing there waiting to get their picture taken in that chair. And the thing about it was, because it was just a big rush. And then they can tell people, look, I sat in that chair and got my picture taken. That gun could go off at any time. Would you sit in that chair? I know I wouldn't, because it'd just be my luck. but always a long line. There's something about risk that people like. But let me tell you something about eternal damnation. That is never worth risking. Not even earthly pleasure, not even the joys of this world, no matter how intense they might be. The fact of the matter is they're always temporary, and they're not worth risking your soul. And so don't let Satan stop you by filling your mind with these kind of ways of thinking. Now, let's quickly, two more points that I'll make, and they won't be nearly as long. But number two, the danger of the delay. Why should we listen to Paul when he says the time is now? That now is the day of salvation, that now is the favorable or acceptable time. Why should we not delay? And the reason is because there's danger in delay. And I'll give you a few reasons why. First of all, and this kind of ties into the previous point, but life could be cut off at any time. We know Jesus could come back at any time. We all, as Bible believers, understand and recognize what the Bible teaches about that. But we need to realize that our own personal lives could end just like that. At any time, any day. You don't know when you get up out of bed each and every day that might be your last day here on earth. You don't know. That is just a fact. I started the lesson this morning by saying, as human beings, we develop this sense of invincibility. We think, no, that's not going to happen to me. And really, young people struggle with this. Because you just think, no, I got my whole life in front of me. I have years before I really need to get serious about obeying the gospel of Christ, because I have all this time, and we just don't realize sometimes life could be cut off at any time. And you've heard me say many times before, death is no respecter of persons. Young people die just like older people. And the statistics show that. It's very interesting. When you think about teenage death, it's kind of scary. That it's a terrible tragedy when a teenager dies. But it's not all that rare. And comparatively speaking, maybe, but it happens enough that all teenagers should realize, I am not invincible. Stop and consider just for a moment. In 2022, over 13,000 American ages 15 to 19 died. That was an average of over 36 teenagers dying per day. When you break that down, it's just interesting to think about it. It's a scary thing. In 2022, every day, 36 teenagers, a little above 36 teenagers died. Not all that rare. You shouldn't be thinking, well, I have all these years to go. I'm just in my teens. I don't have to worry about that. Old people have to worry about dying. I don't have to think about that. I don't have to be concerned about that. I'm going to have my fun. I'm going to do what I want to do and worry about serving God later. You may not have a later. It goes on, the study among adolescents ages 12 through 17 in 2020. Over 2,000 died from unintentional injuries. And I want you to notice this. Over 1,500 died from suicide, over 1,200 from homicide, and over 1,100 died from some physical illness like cancer, heart disease, diabetic, that sort of thing. What's interesting to me with those numbers is the largest group are those who died from unintentional injuries. They're talking about unintentional accidents. car accidents or, you know, something along those lines. But that was the highest number. We're talking, as I said earlier, of individuals who just, they're in perfect health. Everything's fine. They wake up and they think that that particular day is going to be just like all the rest of the days that came before them. And they don't realize an accident is going to take place that takes them out of this world. But that's the way more adolescents, teenagers die than all the other ways. Unintentional accidents. It's amazing. It should give us pause to think. But it's not just young people, just overall deaths, over 3 million. And you see all the different things. These are just a few examples of the different ways people die each and every year. Death is not an unusual thing. It is appointed unto man once to die. And so we see the danger then that takes place in delay. Why shouldn't we delay? It's because life, whether you're old, whether you're young or in between, life can be cut off at any time. And we know the Bible teaches this. James 4 at verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Most of you can probably quote that passage. But we need to stop and consider the truth of it. And again, I know intellectually we all know that, but we need to live like we know it. And if you're here and haven't obeyed the gospel, to live like you know this and you believe what James says will move you to obey the gospel even tonight before it's too late. We need to realize that life indeed is short. Michael J. Fox played in a movie, Casualties of War. And he was Private Erickson, I believe. But the group that he was with, they raped a young girl. And it just a terrible situation. He wasn't involved in it in the movie. But because it was the group of men that he was in, the unit that he was a part of, and the men that he associated with every day, he just felt terrible about it, particularly as he hung out with them and they, you know, would talk about it and seemed like it's no real big deal what they did. And so it was eating at him. And he said this in the movie to some of the men that were involved in it. He said, just because each of us might at any second be blown away, we're acting like we can do anything we want, as though it doesn't matter what we do. And this was in Vietnam. That's the war that it was depicting. And so he says, I'm thinking it's just the opposite. Because we might be dead in the next split second, maybe we got to be extra careful what we do. And I know that's just a movie. But there's some truth to that, isn't there? No, we're not in a physical war. We are involved in a spiritual war every day. And it is true, even though we're not in a physical world, that as we've been saying, we can be dead in the next split second. Like that is literally true. If we went back to that chart of the causes of death, the overall death, heart disease was right up there, was the second most, if you took notice of that. So like, just like that, you can have a heart attack and die. It has happened over and over again. We know that. It's a sad, terrible tragedy. But it happens. And while it might be rare, again, comparatively speaking to all the lives that are going on, it's something that we hear of a lot. Or a car accident. And just think of every day how many people die. And it does take place sometimes in a split second. And so we need to stop and consider, why should we not delay? What's the danger in delay? Life could be cut off at any time. That's true with regard to all of us. But here's another one. Sickness prior to death might make serving God practically impossible. You know, one thing we want as Christians is we want to be of value in the house of God. We want to serve God to the very best of our ability. But things can happen physically that can stop us from doing that. And the main point is this body of ours is decaying every day. It is winding down. One great passage that talks about that is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Turn your Bibles over there. Ecclesiastes in the final chapter. Listen to what Solomon writes here. He starts it off in a very important way. Again, addressing young people, he says, remember also your Creator. This is Ecclesiastes 12 and the verses 1. Ecclesiastes 12 at verse 1. Remember also your Creator when? In the days of your youth. Before the evil days come. And what he's referring to is, again, the winding down, the decay of the physical body. It happens to all of us. And so the sooner you obey God and start serving Him, the better. He says, and the years draw near to which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. And he goes on to explain or describe, most scholars believe anyway, he's describing the winding down, the running down of the physical body. And most of these things we can read. Some of the things he says, we can't be sure what exactly he was talking about, but some of the things are pretty obvious. And any of us with any kind of age at all, have lived for any time at all, realize, yes, these things happen to all of us. When he describes here, the keepers of the house tremble. He's talking about the legs particularly, but even the arms. You get older and that's what happens. It's just a part of aging. He says, the strong men are bent. And that happened. How many times have you joked around? You know, I've joked around a lot of times. I used to be 6'1", but I'm not anymore. That's just age. That's what happens to the body. And sometimes we begin to walk with a bend. And the grinders cease because they are few. You get older, you start losing your teeth. That's just life. That's the body winding down. He says, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. Your eyesight starts going. And that's what he describes throughout this. The doors on the street are shut. That could mean a few different things. Some believe he's referring to the fact you get older and you no longer have access to the outside. You're shut in. How many shut-ins do we have? And again, that's just a part of growing old. And we could work our way down through all of this, but it's just a reminder to us of how the body winds down. That's why he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Start serving God while you have the opportunity to do so. And it would be applicable not just to serving God, but becoming a servant of God in the first place. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, think about that. I know there's a lot of people. In fact, I could say even about myself, though I wasn't that old of a person when I obeyed the gospel of Christ. I have often wished I obeyed the gospel some 10 years earlier. But I know there's a lot of people who don't obey the gospel until later on. And I'm going to show you in just a minute that really is kind of rare in itself. But sometimes people will obey the gospel later in life and they'll look back and they'll believe, I wish I did that 20 years ago. And there's regret. There's never regret when you obey the gospel early. And so why not do it while you're still young to the young people, while you're still strong, while you can still serve God to the best of your ability? Why not remember your Creator in the days of your youth? The time might come when it is too late. And then the heart might become fatally hardened. And that is really, as you stop and think about it, it's a scary thing. I made mention just a moment ago of some statistics of obeying the gospel. Do you realize that most people who don't obey the gospel young don't obey the gospel at all? That is a fact. It is. Now, again, it doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions to it. Some people obey the gospel late in life. I've baptized individuals who were older. But generally speaking, we're told by those who've done the research that 32% of people obey the gospel when they're somewhere like between 10 and 13. And then after that, the numbers plummet. From 14 to 19, that number drops down to 4%. That is pretty low when you stop and think about it. And then from 19 to the rest of life, the number kind of settles around 6%. It's not a very high number. Again, you know, some people make up that 6%. Some people obey the gospel when they're 30 or 40 or 50 or older. But most people, just generally speaking, if you don't obey the gospel at a younger age, there's a good chance you'll never do it. Because the heart becomes hardened towards spiritual things. You just get wrapped up in living. And life and things that are physical with regard to your life take the forefront of your mind, and God is pushed to the back, and you just never recover from that. You just get settled in a life without God. And by far, the majority of people do that very thing. The heart becomes so hard towards spiritual things, it is never penetrated by the gospel. Turn your Bibles just for a moment to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's see. Let's start at verse, just a couple of verses here. Verse 17. Ephesians 4 at verse 17, it says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." Listen, "due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." Now, maybe the last part of that may not be applicable to you. Maybe you don't give yourself over to a life of sensuality and the such, but it is possible for your heart to become hardened and you become callous when it comes down to spiritual things. The sooner you obey the gospel and start serving God and making that the habit of your life, the better. Because the numbers aren't good with regard to those obeying the gospel later on in life. And the message from that is very simple. The time, the clock is ticking. Obey the gospel. There's danger in delay, and we need to understand that. And let me close just by making this point. Live your life, but remember the judgment. Like, people think, well, it's Christianity. It's just you can't have any fun, and God is just a cruel God. He doesn't want you to be happy. Now, that's not true at all. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to enjoy life. There are plenty of passages of Scripture that tell us that very thing. Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. No doubt about that. Even in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 at verse 9, it says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But, he says, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, there's no doubt some of that is sarcastic. But really, again, there are many passages that say, all right, okay, be happy. Like, God isn't concerned mostly about our happiness in this world. That's not what he cares about the most. But there are plenty of passages where we learn God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us now. He does bless us sometimes even with material things because he wants us as his children to be happy. How many of you parents want your children to be miserable in life? I'll wait for you to raise your hand. None of us want that for our children. But we have to balance things. And the balance message is, go ahead, have some fun. But while you're living your life and doing some things that might be enjoyable in life, there's nothing inherently wrong with that, but you better remember the judgment. That whatever decisions you make as you're living your life, you're going to have to ultimately give an account for those decisions. So be careful. And of course, as we think about the book of Ecclesiastes, let's turn over there one more time. And we're all familiar with, in that final chapter, the closing of it. Ecclesiastes 12 at verse 13. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. We should never forget that, should we? Live your life. Be happy. I want you to be happy. I want you to have some joy in your life. Far more importantly, God does. But remember the judgment. And if you remember the judgment, if you're acutely aware of the fact that you're going to be held accountable for the lives that you live, that will move you to do the right thing even tonight. To obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be restored, to repent of your sins and ask God for forgiveness. You ought to do that before it's too late. Hebrews 3 verse 7 and 8. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Are you here tonight and you're subject to the invitation of Christ? Are you outside of the ark of safety? Why are you taking the risk? Rolling the dice, so to speak, when your salvation hangs in the balance. Don't take that risk. Get right with God. Do it tonight. Repent and be baptized, Acts 2 at verse 38. Or, as I just said, be restored to the Lord by repenting and praying God. If you need the prayers of the church, come forward. We'll pray for you and we'll encourage you. But don't harden your heart. Do what's right. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.